That's it.
St John's Wood, London. 8:30 on the 1st of January 1989.
Where to, Gov?
The Athenaeum, Pall Mall.
Right you are.
How long will it take? Got a 9 o'clock meeting.
Working on a public holiday.
Some of us have to. You and me both, eh?
No problem. Hardly anybody on the road this hour today. They're all sleeping it off.
The new year dawned bright and clear, but McIntosh felt a buzz of apprehension as the cab pulled out into the light traffic. The meeting he'd been summoned to attend had the potential to be portentous. He had spent the last week thinking about Berlin, thinking about Elodie and whether he'd have a chance to revenge her murder. Thinking about Picasso, too, about where his source might be now, what might have happened to him since he had to leave him on that street in the DDR. Whether he was even still alive, and if so, how he could salvage the situation if his lords and masters would let him go back. But all his thoughts kept coming back to her, Elodie, the woman he'd known for such a short time, but whom he'd loved so much. Thoughts he couldn't put out of his mind.
There you go, Gov, right on time. The Athenaeum, don't you know? One of your regular hangouts?
First time. Probably the last. Keep the change. Thanks.
Before he was first recruited to the Secret Service, Harry McIntosh had laboured under the illusion that the seat of British power and influence lay in the Palace of Westminster, which contained both houses of government, the House of Commons and the House of Lords. Those august institutions were found on Whitehall, along with the headquarters of the civil service and most of the important ministries. But he had swiftly been disabused of this misapprehension. True enough, power was out on parade in these theatres, but the real authority was wielded behind the scenes in private gentlemen's clubs nearby, like the Athenaeum, a grand building in Greek Revival style, with three imposing tiers and a portico supported by a row of double Doric columns.
Can I be of assistance, sir?
My name's McIntosh. I have an appointment with...
Yes, sir. The member you're to meet gave instructions to escort you to the library. Would you be so good as to follow me, sir?
Harry clutched the satchel he was carrying, adjusting the thick folder that protruded from the top.
I made an effort. Best tweed suit. Newly shined brogues, old school tie, crisp white shirt.
He looked smart enough, but as elderly male members of the noblesse oblige were shown into the dining room for their breakfast...
But I still feel like an intruder. An imposter.
Your guest, sir.
A red-faced man, sitting alone in the library as if to the manner born. Books stacked to the ceiling on every wall, a fire roaring in the grate... And, in between two leather armchairs, a small table with a decanter and two small glasses.
Harry McIntosh, I presume. Only 2 minutes late. We'll forgive that.
Will you be needing anything else?
You might fill us up, Johnson.
Certainly, sir.
Happy New Year. But what's the matter? Too early for you? Amontillado? Sherry, to you. Very decent vintage. Now get this down your neck and sit down. Join me. The festive season's not over yet. This'll warm you up. It's bloody freezing outside. But not as cold as Berlin, eh? Good health.
I brought my report and recommendations, sir.
Yes, yes.
So this is Vivian Bloom. A name I've heard so often. A face I've never seen before. Legendary within the intelligence establishment, but no one would ever tell me exactly why. Far too hush-hush. From what I hear, Bloom's role in MI6 has become more and more nebulous and shadowy. They say he's some kind of link between government and the intelligence services. In his late 40s? No. Early 50s? It's hard to say. He doesn't seem to care how he looks. Hair thinning at the sides, with a tuft in the centre of his crown, just above his forehead, that looks as if it's been glued on. untrimmed eyebrows meeting in the middle, and that suit, definitely Savile Row, must have been expensive. Once. But now it's showing signs of wear and tear. The waistcoat's missing a button, the fabric starting to thin at the elbows and the knees, and there's an egg stain on his tie that he's tried to remove, with only partial success. Why has he summoned me? I can't read anything in that sardonic look. Has he brought me here to carpet me, send me to this shithole tour to some third world country in Africa or Asia when the real front line is Berlin? I'm going to have to persuade him to send me back. Back to Berlin.
Well, sir?
What do you think of the club?
Very grand.
Did you register the freeze outside?
Not really.
Didn't remind you of anything?
I wasn't actually...
Exact replica of the Parthenon. In Athens.
You have seen my report, sir.
You lost an agent on your watch, McIntosh.
I'm afraid so, sir.
Nicholas Fuchs. Good potential. Pity. And your French liaison, Mademoiselle Leroux?
What happened to her? It was a total violation...
Our gallant allies in the DGSE were not well pleased, I can tell you. Perhaps not the best idea in retrospect. A joint operation with a foreign agency.
It was authorised here in London, sir.
Indeed it was.
She was shot down in the street like a dog. Fucking Stasi.
Still, we were getting busy on their patch. No doubt we would have done the same to one of them if we'd found them on our side of the wall. All in all, a proper balls up, wouldn't you say?
Yes, sir.
Ready to go back?
I am, if I'm allowed to...
Sure you've recovered?
I have, thank you.
I've been keeping an eye on your career, Harry McIntosh. Not unimpressive. Acquitted yourself particularly well in Ulster. Berlin's the only real blot on the copybook, eh?
Can I ask for a response to the proposal in my memo?
It's certainly an interesting idea.
Thank you. Then can
I'll certainly bear your recommendation in mind for the future.
But, sir, with respect, as you yourself said, one of my agents was killed. Berlin Station is... Well, there barely is a viable station anymore. The Stasi must be laughing at us. I can't say for sure how, but we must be penetrated. They knew about the operation. If you are going to send me back...
Which I fully intend to.
Then the men I'm asking for, well, I need them very badly.
Yes, we can agree on that. But I'm not sure I can recommend deploying the men you're asking for in this report. Soldiers, Harry? The SA bloody S? Assassins? Really? Entirely against the spirit of the service.
We can't compete with the Stasi with what we have now. Their operatives are military trained. We need the same.
I can see the merit in your request, my dear chap, but I am sorry. What you're asking for is simply impossible. You understand why we can't let the service be manned with military personnel, surely? Times are changing. This could very well be a crucial year. The Soviet Union is beginning to crack. The Baltic states already want to leave the Warsaw Pact. The Kremlin is divided, not surprisingly. And the East German government is desperate. Given the damage your source Picasso could have done, if your assessment is correct.
No doubt about that. It's dynamite.
Then it's hardly surprising the DDR acted with such force.
There are rules...
I understand that convention. I've done my time in the field. Places like Berlin. Places even worse. But I don't think we have any grounds to complain about it officially. They know we won't make a fuss. Your operation meant that they caught us with our fingers in their till.
Then what do you propose, sir?
Vivian, please. Call me Vivian. No need for formality, even in these hallowed halls. Fuchs was an excellent agent. His sacrifice cannot be underestimated, and he will be replaced. I assure you.
I know he'll be replaced, Vivian. What I don't need is another young shaver with a degree in modern languages from Cambridge. I've worked with enough of them in my time. Their spelling, handwriting, and coding skills are impeccable, but with the greatest respect, They are useless in the field. I need men who can pull a trigger instead of pulling an oar in a fucking boat race. Sorry.
I have a degree from Cambridge myself. Classics, as it happens. But don't mind me, please. Go on.
You've read my report. The status quo is unsustainable. We risk being outmatched by the Stasi. I don't need translators. I need fighting men. Soldiers trained to kill.
Indeed. You've made that point forcefully. There's passion in you, Harry. That's why you were chosen for this post by myself, personally. This, though, is not a military operation. Well, say I did give you your assassins. What would happen if one of them, a serving member of the British Armed Forces, was caught or killed in the East? Then we'd be looking at what could only be described as a deliberate act of aggression. I understand why you're asking, but this could start the Third World War. And I'm afraid even I couldn't sanction that.
So that's it then. I've blown it. They're sending me back, but how can I get the upper hand with this staff I have? Might as well fold up the tent. The Stasi's won. The botched operation to exfiltrate Picasso. Elodie's death. Down to me and will be my epitaph.
Why are you looking so glum?
I was contemplating handing in my resignation, sir. Vivian.
Harry. Do you think we could afford to lose a man of your caliber? But of course, if we were to recruit someone from outside the military, outside the intelligence service, then if such a person were to be caught in East Berlin, well, that might be something we could get away with. We could say we knew nothing of that character, couldn't we? Total deniability. Take a look at this file.
James Walker.
He's been on MI5's watch ever since he got off the boat from Northern Ireland. We've created a totally plausible legend for him, because if or possibly when his cover is blown and he's captured or killed, well, there would be no way to trace him to us, would there?
He's a common criminal, a burglar.
We're going to have to disagree there. He's anything but common. He's exceptional. And he finds himself in a rather awkward predicament. He was arrested earlier this morning. The flying squad pulled him for robbing a warehouse at Heathrow. I must confess I'm rather proud of the setup. I wanted a reason to take him off the street, to find some way to make him useful to us. He's a County Armagh man, bandit country, and has experience working with the provost. Not unlike yourself, eh? Between you and me, I was originally thinking of putting him to work over there, but then you made your request, and I thought that maybe there's another purpose for which he may be better fitted.
I want to work with Sergeants Cameron and Fisher from the SAS, not an Irish safecracker. I trust them implicitly, and we work well together.
I'm afraid this is it, Harry. The best I can do. James Walker is currently residing in a cell in New Scotland Yard. Go and see him.
Does he speak German?
I'd be very surprised.
He has no training in tradecraft.
Well, not formally, but he's intelligent, ruthless, and very dangerous. A man like him could cause all sorts of havoc in Berlin. And the beauty of it is, he's completely expendable.
And completely unsuited for what I'd need him to do.
Very well. If you want someone who speaks German and who's been through a training course, I've got any number of Oxbridge candidates. But you've already told me what you think about that, haven't you? This man Walker is never going to be an oarsman. He's never going to speak Latin. He doesn't know his Cicero from his Seneca. On the other hand, he has a history as a street fighter. He put three rather nasty East End villains in hospital after they tried to extort a friend of his. And it took four flying squad officers to subdue him last night. Four! And two of them have been signed off duty for a week after what he did to them. If you're concerned about fallout, then please let me be plain. You will direct him, but not be held in any way responsible for his actions. Go and see Walker, Harry. This is not a request.
Very well.
One more thing. Picasso, do you know where he is now?
I can guess.
Having his fingernails extracted in Stasi HQ at Hornschönhausen?
I assume so.
Shame. You're unfortunate, Harry. Bringing him out would have been a feather in your cap, but he's gone now. Probably dead already. Let it go. Use the Irishman to give the Stasi something else to think about.
And if he dies in the process?
Then he dies. Nothing to do with us. Something went terribly wrong for you on Christmas Eve.
I've been going over it in my mind. It was a well-planned operation.
If it's any consolation, I don't think for one moment it was your fault, Harry. Nor that of your French liaison. I'm afraid I agree with your conclusion. I believe there's a viper in your nest. Any idea who that might be?
I'm beginning to have my suspicions. Reluctantly.
Then use this man, Walker, to take him out. Even if it's too late to assist you in the exfiltration of Picasso. Clear up your mess, Harry. The service is counting on you.
Where the fuck am I?
A cell in New Scotland Yard, headquarters of the Metropolitan Police. 1 hour later.
Walls and floor. Bare concrete. A metal door. No window. Bucket in the corner. You know what that's for. A surveillance camera fixed to the ceiling. Red light flashing.
Jimmy Walker lay on a thin mattress. His muscles ached and his head felt as if it was about to split. He put his fingers to his scalp and felt dried, sticky blood. He pulled up his shirt and looked down at black welts on his torso and arms and, from the ache in his legs, he guessed that he had been beaten there too. Then he remembered what had happened.
Oh, shit.
Thank you, officer. I'll take it from here. And you might arrange to have the camera disabled?
He's no copper. No policeman could afford a suit like that. Ditto on the handmade shoes, the clean white shirt, the old school tie. A lawyer?
Mr. Walker.
That's right.
Good morning.
Is it?
I'd like to speak to you.
Be my guest. I'm not going anywhere.
Very true.
You don't look like police.
No.
So who the fuck are you?
Me? I'm not even here.
Where am I?
New Scotland Yard.
But you're not a copper.
I'm here to make you an offer. Given your present circumstances, you should give it careful consideration.
I should.
If you take it, you can walk out of here with me.
Just like that?
Just like that.
You still haven't told me who you are.
But I know who you are. All in your file, James Sean Walker. Born in Daisy Hill Hospital, Newry, raised by your paternal uncle Barney Walker after both parents were killed in a pub bombing in 72. Studied, or not, as the case may be, at St. Patrick's College. As you left with no qualifications, I'm guessing it must have been the latter. Boring. Let's jump ahead, shall we? Went off the rails a little under the criminal influence of your uncle. A career breaking and entering. Recruited by the IRA team that turned over the Allied Irish Bank. The proceeds from that raid funded a shipment of arms from Libya.
I never knew that was a Provo job.
Is that so?
I'm not political. I'm what they call an ordinary, decent criminal.
But it's rumoured you walked away with 10 grand.
No, I refused to work with the boyos again.
Ah. So that was the reason you left Northern Ireland with both the IRA and the RUC on your tail. Impressive, making enemies of both. No need to go into your resume in London. No gainful employment since retiring from boxing, and yet, somehow, full ownership of a house in Hackney. In a long-term relationship with Isabel and one child, Sean.
You leave them out of this?
Police have long suspected your nocturnal business, although you've been clever enough not to give them anything to go on. You've managed to keep your head down. Till yesterday, of course. When you were arrested on suspicion of perpetrating a diamond heist in Heathrow last night.
Aye, well, I'll be wanting to speak to a lawyer about that.
I'm sure you will, James.
It's Jimmy. Are you a lawyer?
Did I say I was?
James. You're in a bit of a spot, aren't you?
Been worse.
Really? The police found a bag full of equipment in the back of your car. I'm not an expert, of course, but I'm reliably informed it's a homemade torch, custom-made for cutting into safes. A bag of soiled clothes, balaclava, gloves. All very suspicious.
You still haven't told me who you are.
Right now, I'm your best friend, James. I work for the government.
Ah, then you can fuck right off. I'm no tight.
James, please.
Mm-mm.
Just listen. We have a position open that would suit a man with your rare talents.
No, thanks, mate. I'm all right here.
Really? You want to stay in prison for the next 10 years?
10?
The police tell me they can tie you to a string of jobs across London and the southeast. Armed robbery, James. What sort of sentence do you expect?
Wait a minute. Who said anything about guns?
The police found an unregistered shotgun in the back of your Capri. Looks like the same shotgun used to threaten the driver of an armored car last month.
I've never done an armored car, and I've never used shooters. Against my principles.
Well, you would say that, James. Armed robbery is a serious offense. Minimum you're looking at is 10. The minimum. With the right judge, you could get more.
This was all planned. The warehouse, the safe, the ice. All a setup.
Certainly looks that way.
A bastard Fabian.
Apparently, Mr. Edward Fabian has been a good friend to the Met ever since he was a teenage spiv in Whitechapel. How else do you think they've allowed him to maintain his reputation as a pillar of the criminal community? You've been deceived, James. And you never saw through it, did you?
What about Smiler? Is he in on this?
From what I can gather, he was in the dark as much as you, James.
I'm glad of that, at least.
If you go along with me, your friend will be back on the street before the day's out. All charges dropped. As you say, this has been very carefully planned.
All this to get me to work for you.
It happens that my people have been looking for some assistance, and I was given the chance to have a squint at your file. Having studied your background, I think you might well be the one to help me out. You're up against the wall. So if I were you, I would think very carefully about your future. You scratch my back, James. I scratch yours.
You still haven't told me who you are.
I'm your second chance. I'm your get-out-of-jail-free card. If you do as you're told, you won't serve any time. You have my word.
Is this some kind of trick?
You'll be walking out that door in 10 seconds. Up to you, James. Make your mind up, time.
When will I see my girlfriend and my boy?
We can be out of here and, traffic permitting, at Valentine Road in less than half an hour.
You know everything, don't you?
If you say yes, of course. But if you don't say yes, you'll be banged up. I suppose you'll see him when they come to visit. Won't be easy to cuddle your boy through a prison screen, though.
All right. Yes. You're on.
Still in pain? I'm not surprised after the treatment you got last night.
Who are you?
My name's McIntosh. Harry. I'm your new boss. Shake on it?
What choice do I have?
Welcome to the Secret Service, Mr. Walker.
It only took a few minutes for McIntosh to take care of the formalities of arranging Jimmy's release.
Wallet.
His belongings were returned to him by the very same police officer he'd butted in the face last night. His nose was held together by a piece of sticking plaster.
Ooh, sorry about your nose, officer.
Piss off, sunshine.
Come on now, we don't have all day.
Oh, and give my regards to your colleagues in hospital.
I brought you some new clothes. Yours are a bit bloody.
Without needing to ask for the address, McIntosh drove Jimmy to his house in Hackney in a brand new Jaguar SJ6.
You got 10 minutes.
What? 10 minutes?
You've got a flight to catch this afternoon.
You never said anything about a flight. Where to?
I'll tell you at the airport. The plane leaves at 1, we need to be on it. I'll drive around the block.
What do I say?
Tell her you're going away on business for a couple of weeks.
You haven't told me where.
I don't know what you should say, James. She's your girlfriend. Make something up.
Lie to her, you mean?
Sure it won't be the first time.
It was cold. Jimmy's breath fogged in front of his face. He looked into the downstairs window and saw Isabel. His mouth was dry and his stomach was unsettled. He went through the gate and across the small garden. Isabel opened the door. She seemed paler than usual. Her eyes were red, just as they always looked when she hadn't had enough sleep, worrying about where he'd been and when he'd come home.
I waited up for you. All night, Jimmy. I haven't been to bed. Where have you been?
I had a bit of trouble last night.
Sean was beside himself when he woke up. You were supposed to be playing football with him this morning.
I know it was, darling. I'm sorry. I'll talk to him.
He's not here, Jimmy.
Where is he?
At my sister's. I didn't want him to see you coming home in a police car. What's happened?
Nothing. It's all right.
Oh, yeah? Look at your face. Who did that to you?
I had a little difference of opinion. You should have seen the other fellas.
But you're here now. You didn't get arrested. You're free?
Not quite.
What does that mean?
I've got to go away for a few days.
Where? Not back to Ireland?
No. Scotland.
Why do you need to go to Scotland?
I've got a job. A man came to see me. He works for the government. He's offered me to do some work for them.
What kind of work?
I don't really know. 2 weeks tops, and then I'm home again. Everything will be okay, I promise.
What do I tell Sean?
I don't know. Maybe that I've got a job and I'll be back as soon as I can. Tell him I'll bring him a present.
You're going to buy him something and I hope he forgets that you've left us.
Oh, come on, darling. I'm doing my best here. I don't want to go.
So don't!
I have to. I've got no choice.
This has to change. I can't do this anymore. Every time you go out to work, I worry that you're not going to come back. I knew something bad had happened last night. I knew you'd been hurt. Or worse.
Look, it's going to stop. It'll be different when I get back.
You've said that before.
But I mean it this time. No more jobs. I'll go straight. Right. The house is paid for. I'll get some kosher work. Promise.
Well, one of these days you might tell me the truth.
Right. Look, they've got me dead to rights and they'll throw the book at me if I don't do what they say. And that's the honest truth.
What's that?
It's the man who got me out this morning. I'll have to go with him now. Here, look, come on. Tell Sean his daddy loves him. I'll be back as soon as I can. Right? I love you.
I don't want you to go.
I'm sorry, Isabel. I've got no choice.
All good, James?
Yeah, brilliant.
Ready?
Aye, ready.
Jimmy looked in the mirror as McIntosh nudged into the traffic. He saw Isabel at the door, watching him leave.
Okay. Heathrow Airport. Here you go. Strong and black. Take sugar?
3.
Sweet tooth, eh?
A cafe at Heathrow Airport. Afternoon of New Year's Day, 1989. During their drive to Heathrow, McIntosh had been assessing the Irishman. He hadn't spent time in the Secret Service, stationed in some of the most hostile and dangerous cities in the world, without developing the ability to quickly size someone up.
Walker. Is he trustworthy? Frightened? Will he do what I ask him?
Walker looked distracted now, staring out of the window at a jumbo as it rose into the air.
2 weeks. You said I'd be back in 2 weeks. Why don't I believe you?
Who else are you going to believe? Shouldn't take more than 2 weeks. Possibly. We're coming back again assumes we'll be successful, and there's certainly no guarantee of that. It's not a bad plan. Audacious, granted. Dangerous, for sure. If I'm honest, the odds are all against us. But I can't tell Walker that, can I?
So now, will you tell me where we're going?
Berlin.
What?
West Berlin, to be precise. You haven't been there before, have you?
I've never been outside the country.
I know.
Never even had a passport, never needed one.
You've got one now, here.
How did you get this?
It's something my people do. Good likeness? Plus 1,000 Deutschmarks should be quite sufficient for everything you need. And your ticket and boarding pass for the flight.
A one-way ticket.
We don't know the exact date you'll be returning. We can sort that out later. And here's your reservation for the Berlin Hilton. When you land at Tempelhof, get a taxi to the hotel, check in, and make yourself comfortable.
But when I land? Aren't you coming with me?
I can't take the risk of us being seen getting off the same plane together.
Who by?
You'd be surprised. I'm taking a later flight. I'll come to your room at the hotel tonight, and then we can talk about what you're going to be doing tomorrow.
What am I going to be doing?
A little reconnaissance. I'll tell you tonight.
No, I want to know now. Why are you sending me to Berlin?
You're going to have a meeting with a man. You'll find out what I need to know, and then you'll be on your way back home again with a clean record and the thanks of a grateful government.
That's all.
Well, mostly.
You are full of it. What else?
I'll brief you tonight. They're calling the flight. Finish your coffee and go to the gate. You'll be leaving in 30 minutes. It's 2 hours to Berlin. Get much sleep last night.
What do you think? In that nice cold cell?
Try and get some on the plane. You're going to be busy. On your way, James.
Supposed to do now. Never been in a bloody airport before. I never needed to, did I? Yeah, I'm certain the woman at the counter must have known that, the way she looked down on me when she checked my boarding pass. You know, all these other passengers know exactly what they're doing. Posh couples off to winter breaks in Paris and Venice. Well-dressed businessmen discussing meetings they'll be taking in Milan, Vienna and Bonn. What am I doing? Totally out of place here. Ah, a bar. At least I know what to do there.
Jimmy had a seat in economy.
So this is how the jet set spend their time. Like a train, but less comfortable. Get some sleep, he said. Some chance in this cramped seat. Wedged in between a fat businessman and a snoring German.
He took out one of the 10 Deutschmark bills McIntosh had given him and bought a gin and tonic.
Oh, I wonder what Isabel's doing now. I wonder what she told Sean. I hated leaving them like that. Hated not telling her what's going on. But what choice did I have? The less she knows, the better. Not that I know much. They've been done up like a kipper. They've got me on tape discussing the diamond heist. And the evidence the bastards planted in my car would be impossible for any jury to ignore. 10 years? 15 years? No way. I'm 30 now. The thought of throwing away the best years of my life and missing the chance to see my lad grow up with his dad behind bars? Never. Okay, Mr. McIntosh, bring it on. Whatever it might be. In and out and back in a fortnight.
We are now commencing our descent to Berlin.
I wish.
The captain has turned on a seatbelt and no.
He's got me where he wants me.
For the slight delay to your
no going back now.
This may cause.
What choice do I have?
What is the purpose of your visit to the Federal Republic of Germany?
Business.
Where are you staying?
The Hilton.
You have a one-way ticket?
Yeah, I'm not sure how long I'll need to be here for. Probably a week, maybe two.
Enjoy your visit to Berlin, Mr. Walker.
Thank you.
Bitte, wo wollen Sie hin, mein Herr?
No, I don't speak German.
Okay, where you want to go?
The Hilton.
No problem.
The driver set off, plotting a route into the heart of the city. Jimmy watched as the landscape changed. They passed through an industrial area into streets that were lined with residential buildings, and then a central area with hotels and office blocks. The Hilton was a spectacularly ugly building, decorated like a checkerboard, white concrete slabs alternating with black windows to create an eyesore that loomed over the hotel's parking lot and Mohrenstrasse, the road that ran alongside it. The hotel was topped with its name in bold, confident capitals.
Here we are. Danke.
Danke.
A bellboy appeared from the foyer, his breath misting in front of his face. He opened the door and Jimmy got out, immediately skidding on a sheet of black ice. He lost his balance, but managed to stay upright by grabbing the bellboy's shoulder.
Sorry.
It's a cold one tonight, eh?
Yeah, I'll say.
Colder than London.
Yeah, you're right.
Any luggage, sir?
No, just the overnight bag.
Very good. This way, please.
James Walker? I have a reservation.
Certainly, Mr. Walker. Room 806, 8th floor. The lifts are at the end of the lobby, sir.
His room faced out onto a bleak block that still bore the scars of the war. The building had been struck by a shell, and the damage had not yet been repaired. Smoke rose from vents at the top of the building, and there were lights in the windows. Despite the poor condition of the building, it must be still occupied. Jimmy closed the blinds, took off his coat and shoes, and sat down on the bed. He was tired and alone, a stranger in a strange city. His family hundreds of miles away with no idea where he was. He found the minibar, poured himself a drink, and waited for McIntosh. McIntosh's plane landed at 10, and he took a taxi to his office in the British consulate to read the latest intel reports.
Fuchs dead on my watch. Most of my agents are inexperienced at best, and their assets are a mix of businessmen, bureaucrats, lowlifes, and border rats who flip back and forth from west to east. Some of them are useful. Granted. They've even managed to smuggle some East Germans across. But their information is nearly always old and mostly unreliable. First time I get a really promising source, and I have to leave him shot up on the street. He's in the Stasi's hands now. And Elodie. Stop it. I mustn't blame myself. There's an unwritten rule that the men and women of the intelligence services, both sides, are off limits. The rule has held the line for years. There would be a bloodbath without it. What Karl Heinz Sommer did was intolerable. He won't get away with it. I'm going to stand down hard on him and teach the Stasi that there are consequences. Easier said than done, perhaps. But sitting back and taking it is out of the question. They knew all about our operation. The date and the place. That's why Elodie's dead. I have to smoke out the mole. Morgan. But is this just a suspicion? No, it has to be him. Doesn't it? I must have proof. Things need shaking up around here. And there's only one way to do that.
McIntosh found a pool driver, but he couldn't risk going directly to the Hilton in case they were followed. So the driver went in the opposite direction until they reached the subway. McIntosh hurried down onto the platform and got on the first train heading east. It was late, and the carriage was empty. He was pretty sure he wasn't being tailed.
This Irishman Bloom's gifted me, against my better judgment. No experience, no tradecraft. Is he up to it?
The line passed for a short time beneath the wall and into East Berlin.
I can't risk him doing something stupid to compromise operational integrity.
McIntosh gazed out of the window as the carriage passed through one of the Geisterbahnhöfe, the ghost stations, with an armed guard peeking at the train through a narrow slit in a bricked hut.
I'm going to have to test him. And soon. A comfortable period of settling in. No acclimatization. No time for that. What was it he said? What choice do I have?
The train accelerated and they were gone, turning back into the west once more. The train rumbled into Stadtmitte. The hotel was a short walk from the station.
Who's there?
Only me. Who did you think it was?
Oh, it's after midnight. I was beginning to hope this was all a bad dream.
Afraid not, mate.
McIntosh took out a small box of moulded black plastic from his bag. He pulled out an extendable aerial from the top of the machine. Then he flicked the dial to switch it on.
What the hell are you...
This is a radio frequency detector. The room's clear.
You think the room's been bugged?
The Stasi make it a habit to listen in to rooms where visitors from the opposition might stay.
But this is West Berlin.
Come on, mate. Never heard of the Cold War? You know how many active officers they have? Agents, informers, people supplying them with information. 100,000, James. Conservative estimate. They're everywhere. The cleaner who does your room, maybe she's getting a little on the side for keeping an eye on Western guests. The bellboy, who knows? The receptionist who checked you in, room service...
Yeah, all right, right. I get the picture.
Assume the worst. That way you won't be surprised. Here, I've got something for you.
A photograph. Isabel and Sean. On Wall Street Common, just behind our house. The boy's kicking a football. Isabel's smiling. But there's sadness in her eyes.
Where did you get this?
It was taken this morning while you were still in the cell.
You had someone watching my girlfriend and my kid? You tell your people to stay away from them. I don't want you or anyone else who works for you anywhere near them. Got it?
Relax. No ulterior motive. We just thought you'd like something to remember them by while you're over here.
Fine.
Jimmy put the photograph in his pocket and went to the window. The sky was dark, with a thick canopy of cloud blocking out the moon and the stars. Snow was falling, a thin dusting that settled on everything. The scene looked almost festive. Almost.
What the fuck am I doing here?
So, now you've got me. What do you want me to do?
McIntosh took a folder from his bag and put it on the bed. He opened it and slid out a set of black and white photographs. A man in late middle age, with curls of thick black hair atop a rounded face, wearing thick-rimmed glasses.
It's someone I'm interested in. This man. Study these pictures in the profile.
David Morgan. Attached to the Berlin station since 1985. Born David Morgenstern in Cairo in 1922, son of an Austrian mother and a Jewish father. They returned to Austria before the Anschluss, where he attended school. Before the war, his family fled and found their way to Britain, where they were naturalised and Morgan joined the Royal Navy. His competent deployment as an interrogator of U-boat captains in Hamburg in 1945 led to his recruitment by the Special Intelligence Service. During the Korean War, Morgan, as he was now known, was sent under diplomatic cover to gather intelligence on the North. Captured when Seoul fell, he was held prisoner in a communist camp near the Yalu River. Though subsequently serving with distinction in MI6 delegations all over the world, if the Soviets had turned him, then it must have happened in North Korea more than 30 years ago.
Who is he?
His name is David Morgan. He works for me at the consulate.
Another one of your spies.
He's an agent runner. A good one. But yes, I suppose you could call him a spy.
Why do you want me to follow your own man?
I don't need to go into too much detail.
Tell me what this has to do with me.
I had an operation in East Berlin on Christmas Eve. It was severely compromised. Two of our people were killed.
You mean it went tits up and you want me to dig you out of a hole?
Someone betrayed us to the Stasi.
And you think it was this Morgan?
That's what I want us to find out.
So you're not sure?
Not completely. That's where you come in. I'm going to set a trap. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to let slip some information. Something that'll give his commie handlers cause for serious concern. I want you to follow him.
And how am I going to do that?
This is the key to a red Mercedes Cosworth 190E you'll find downstairs in the hotel car park. And this is the address of the British consulate where we have our offices. Be there tomorrow morning early. There's a car park opposite. I'll speak to Morgan, and if I'm right, and I hope I'm not, he'll be frightened and run straight to his Stasi handler. I don't think he's got the guts to wait it out. He'll be driving an Audi Quattro. There'll be a safe house somewhere near the city, most likely near the wall. If I'm right, that's where he'll go. You're going to find it for me. He doesn't know who you are. No one knows. That's why you're here. Anything else? Good. Oh. You might be needing this.
McIntosh reached into his bag and took out a pistol and a spare magazine.
Seriously? I told you.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, against your ordinary decent criminal principles. Just in case, hey?
You said you only wanted me to follow him.
I do, but if he does make contact with a Stasi agent, I'd rather you have a weapon and not need it than need one and not have it.
I never used a shooter before.
Don't point at anyone you don't want to kill. When you do want to shoot, click the safety off, rack the slide, make sure there's a round in the chamber. Look at the target, grip the handle with both hands, pull the trigger. Repeat until the target is dead. Got it?
Got it.
And this is what you need to know in the unlikely event that there's a cock-up, which there won't be, will there? The United Kingdom maintains three offices in Berlin. The political advisor to the British military government is based at the Olympic Stadium. Only contact them in case of dire emergency. The commercial offices are leased in the International Trade Center Administration Building on Georgenstrasse. I've never been there before, so there's no reason why you should. MI6 is located in the Consulate General on Uhlandstrasse. Of course, that's not something the likes of you are supposed to know, so you've forgotten it already. But that's where you'll be first thing tomorrow morning, James. Opposite the car park at 7 o'clock. Don't be late. We only get one chance at this. Morgan's Stasi minders might well try to get him into the east once I blow his cover. And if that happens, we'll never see him again. That's my personal number. Memorize it. Now, destroy it. When you find out Morgan's destination, find the nearest payphone and call me. I'll be there as soon as I hear from you. You'll need these. All right?
All right. What are you going to do if it is him?
He'll need to be persuaded to answer a few questions. But you don't need to worry about that. That's my responsibility.
And then I'm done here.
Possibly. Let's wait and see. Now try and get some sleep.
You're always telling me that.
Busy day tomorrow.
Jimmy went to the window. Sure enough, he could see a red Mercedes in the parking lot. He looked at the photograph of his target that McIntosh had given to him and stared at it. Then he took out the picture of Isabel and Sean.
What if I don't make it back home? What if something happens in this shithole that he's not telling me about? Sean kicking a ball in the park with no one there to kick back to him? Don't you bloody cry. How's that going to help? Totally knackered. Try to get some sleep, he says. Easier said than done. Busy day tomorrow. It's already tomorrow.